All right. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Gentle Healing Year 3. And hi, George. George was bragging to me this morning about the temperature in Florida. Yeah. I guess if you guys have friends who are interested in gentle healing, starting Gentle Healing 1, we do have a Gentle Healing 1 class that's going to start in January, January 27th. So you can let them know. There'll be more information forthcoming. You know, I'm at a retreat this week, so, you know, I'm kind of occupied. But when I get back home and I'm not in retreat anymore, I'll start working with Dawn and we'll get it announced. But if you know anybody that might be interested in starting Gentle Healing Year 1, it will be coming on January 27th. So let them know, give them a heads up. If they want to give us their name, they can contact us and we'll put them on a list of people who want to be notified with more information. Also, more information will be coming out in the daily update. So before I jump in and get started with my sharing on this week from Gentle Healing Year 3, do any of you all have anything that you would like to share? Ron's over there in the retreat house, in case you guys are wondering where he is. Yeah, see him over there? He's here this week for the Freedom from the Ego retreat. And of course, Cheryl is back there too. Yeah. And Cheryl's pointing, so I'm guessing that Jackie's there, but I can't see her. Is that right? Yeah, I can't see a Jackie, but I'm guessing she's in the room too. Yeah. All right. Then I'll just start. I've been talking all day. I think you guys should have to do this. All right, so I will start then, because of course I did collect stuff, as I always do. So actually, there are 1, 2, 3, 4 quotes that I think we can look at together, because all four quotes were talking about the same thing. So why don't we look at these four quotes and then we'll discuss them. The first quote is quote 979. However heavy may be the hand of destiny, it can be lifted by patience and self-control. Integrity and purity remove the obstacles. I'll read that one again. However heavy may be the hand of destiny, it can be lifted by patience and self-control. Integrity and purity remove the obstacles. The next quote is 994. Self-effort is of two categories, that of past births and that of this birth. The latter effectively counteracts the former. Again, self-effort is of two categories, that of past births and that of this birth. The latter effectively counteracts the former. And now 995. There is no power greater than right action in the present. Hence, one should take recourse to self-effort. There is no power greater than right action in the present. Hence, one should take recourse to self-effort. And then the final quote in this series, 998. The present is infinitely more potent than the past. They indeed are fools who are satisfied with the fruits of their past effort and do not engage themselves in self-effort now. The present is infinitely more potent than the past. They indeed are fools who are satisfied with the fruits of their past effort and who do not engage themselves in self-effort now. So does anybody have anything to share on these four quotes? Tell you what, then, since nobody's jumping in with all four, let's just go back and look at them each one at a time, and then we'll tie them together. So let's go back and look at 979. We'll look at them one at a time. However heavy may be the hand of destiny, it can be lifted by patience and self-control. Integrity and purity remove the obstacles. So you could look at destiny in this quote as your present life. This is saying that regardless of how difficult your present life is, and you can see this in a lot of ways. It could be, you know, the circumstances of your life, like your job, your family, that kind of things. It could be the circumstances of, you know, your mind, right? Our minds can cause us a lot of suffering, even if everything else is just fine. It could be the strength of your resistance, like every day you resolve to do the contemplation and meditate, and every day resistance wins and you don't, you know. Whatever is going on in your present life in any of these ways, right? This is destiny. And this is saying however heavy that destiny may be, it can be lifted by patience and self-control. So, you know, you all know the loop of experience. What I think, I see, what I see, I experience, what I experience, I think. This is basically saying you do not have to stay stuck in that loop of experience. Right? And it's interesting that it says that the destiny, the experience that's coming from the loop of experience, can be lifted by, and it gives two things. First, patience and self-control. Let me just pause and see if y'all have anything to share at this point before I continue. I've been lecturing all day. I'm ready for somebody else to participate.
All right, Regina, I'll share my...
Sure.
I'll share. What I wrote for those quotes were, seek the immortal, which has integrity and knows true wisdom. Be patient and use self-control by remembering to ask, what am I to do now in every circumstance? Asking with integrity and purity, remove all obstacles, and give wisdom in all things. Do not doubt this is alive within you. Listen intently and walk forward with love and guidance in all things. Seek and allow. Seek truth and allow.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. And surrender, you know, asking within, you know, what am I to do in all things? That is an example of self-control, right? What are other examples of self-control that might help you to lift the heavy hand of destiny? George.
Okay, can you hear me?
Yes.
I'm on a new computer, so a different computer. You know, I heard a quote one time, life is hard and life is not fair, and that's just the way it is. And what that says to me is, you know, don't fall into victimhood. You know, whatever cards you're dealt with, you just go forward. And you know, integrity and purity are just accepting that fact that regardless of where you're at, just do your best and go forward. That's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, do we have any answers to what are some types of self-control that will help lift the heavy hand of destiny? Tony.
In the last couple of weeks, I've been noticing in myself that there's some, just uneasiness, and maybe it's fear. And the mind can really get going at times. And what I've been doing as a practice, what I feel is helping, what you're asking for, I think, is some of the things that we do is, for me right now, I've been doing a lot of resting of my mind and choosing not to follow the thoughts that will continue to make the experience appear to be fearful. And it's been taking a lot of continuous effort on my part to do that. I really don't even know why this is happening, but it just feels like it's taking a lot of effort to really go back to the center and rest a lot right now. So rest, accept, and trust is what I'm doing.
Yeah. Yeah, that's another example of self-control. Any others? The type of self-control that lifts the heavy hand of destiny. Practicing inquiry, right? Looking into your thoughts, understanding them more clearly, seeing that they are not true. Practicing even self-inquiry, noticing that this is the mind, but this is not me. I am the unaffected awareness that sees this thought. Of course, meditation, awareness, watching awareness, meditation. Choosing not to believe the thoughts when they show up in the mind, right? Noticing the thoughts are just habit energy coming through the mind again, and choosing not to fall for that habit energy again. What this quote is saying is these types of practices, again, practice with patience. You can't expect immediate results. And self-control, you stick with the practice, right? Will actually change your destiny. And again, it also, as George mentioned, it also talks about integrity and purity remove the obstacles. Integrity to me in this sentence is wholeness of purpose. Being completely aligned with yourself in your purpose for healing or awakening. And purity means one desire, right? The desire for healing or awakening. So with patience, self-control, integrity, being in harmony with yourself, wholly aligned, and purity of desire, you can actually change your destiny. Any comments or questions on that quote before we look at the next one? Because these quotes all go together. Let's look at 994. Self-effort is of two categories, that of past births and that of this birth. The latter effectively counteracts the former. And I would even say there's the self-effort of past years and the self-effort of now, right? And the self-effort of now effectively counteracts the self-effort of past years. So here, self-effort doesn't mean just spiritual practice. Self-effort means whatever you've been placing your attention on, whatever your focus has been. So what this is saying is, you know, in the past, your self-effort may have been focused on what we would call the wrong mind, right? You may have been spending your time in judgments, in grievances, in self-will, in control and manipulation, right? And all of that creates a certain destiny, which, as you guys know, the Hindus tend to call karma, right? All of that creates a certain destiny. So because of this mistaken past effort, you could say that your life may be on a trajectory that isn't exactly favorable for awakening. In fact, it might not even be favorable for happiness or peace, you know? But what this is saying is, even though there's this trajectory in motion, you're not the victim of the trajectory that's in motion. You're not the victim of your past thinking, your past way of giving attention. Because anything that you are doing now, any effort that you are doing now, is more powerful than the effort from the past. And that's a really amazing concept. I mean, let's imagine, and I don't know the truth about this, but let's imagine you have lived hundreds of lives. And then, you know, you've lived up to what, 50 or 60 years old in this life, right? And let's imagine that the majority of that was very egoic, very wrong-minded. All right? If the present had no more power than the past, if you spent hundreds of lifetimes getting yourself to this point, and you had to undo it with equal effort and time, you would need hundreds of lifetimes to undo all of the wrong-minded karma, we'll call it. What this is saying is that is not true, because the present is much more powerful than the past. You know, I've often said that my purification process, especially letting go of the I am bad belief, letting go of the I am bad belief took me 5 years, which in a way felt like a long time while I was doing it. But when I look back on it, 5 years to undo 45 years at least, and that's not counting the previous lifetimes, 45 years of believing this unworthiness thought, that's actually pretty fast. You know, I believed this thought over and over and over and over and over for 45 years, and then I was able to undo it in 5 years. Why was I able to undo it in 5 years? Because the present effort is more powerful than the past. It's kind of like the past is a smoke, but the present is a fire. So this is really an important thing to know, that you can actually change your destiny, change your karma through your present effort. You're not stuck with the past. Any comments on 994 before we continue? Yes, Tony. You're muted.
I don't, okay. You hear me. I said, I'll just share what I wrote for 994. Self-effort now is within my awareness. Self-effort now is loving the continuous surrendering of self. Self-effort now is relaxing into the expansion of this consciousness. Self-effort now is being here in every moment and allowing life consciousness to be exactly as it is. Love self-effort. Self-effort follows the true desire, and true desire will lead you home.
Ah, thank you. That's beautiful. Thank you. Yeah, and what we're saying is everything she just listed in that journal entry, you know, living that way now is so powerful that it can counteract your past way of living and believing and casting attention. Let's look at 995. And you'll see how this just follows that thought perfectly. There is no power greater than right action in the present. You hear that? That's incredible. I mean, think about it, guys. There is no power greater than right action in the present. Hence, one should take recourse to self-effort. I mean, that's like the secret of how you set yourself free. And this is from all of your past mistakes. You know, the way the Course says this, because it uses spiritual symbolic language, but it says that the Holy Spirit can undo your mistakes in the past, right? Isn't there something like that in the Course, that the Holy Spirit can undo your mistakes in the past? Well, that's really, this is the same teaching. Your destiny, you know, the effects of your past wrong-minded choices that are already in motion, coming to you as karma, as destiny, can be undone so that you never have to experience it through your present self-effort towards awakening. Because there is no power greater, no power greater than right action in the present. Nancy, go ahead. Yes.
What this is for me as well, there is no power greater than right action in the present, is that it takes repeated right action.
Yes.
To affect, well, to create something new and to, you know, and to not erase the past, but to create something new. I mean,
to undo some past karma. Yeah.
Yes. Yes.
That has not yet been delivered.
Yes. And so there is no power greater than right action in the present, but it's like repeated action.
I agree 100%.
Yeah.
And that's why, a part of why the previous quote mentioned patience.
Right.
Right?
Yes. There's always that choice that comes up again and again and again. And if I don't choose right action, then things remain the same.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, and that goes to what Einstein said, right? The definition of insanity. Can anybody quote that for me? I'm like only halfway there. Is
taking the same action and expecting different results?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah. Exactly. So yeah, there is no power greater. But you know what I love about that? Can you imagine how awful it would be if we were the victim of all of our past wrong choices? If they were like set in stone, and there was nothing that we could do to change the karma that's coming at us later because of what we did in the past? Like, if you absolutely had to experience the effects of every single one of your wrong choices? And what this is saying is you don't. You don't. You may still experience the effects of some of them. You know, we're not saying you're getting off scot-free. And in fact, you can use that as a healing opportunity, right, when those stuff comes up. But you don't actually have to experience all of the negative karma that you've created. Because there's no power greater than right action in the present. That is such a powerful statement. And it can be very, very motivating as to why you might want to start really engaging in right action. Again, we're talking about all of our spiritual practices. Why you might want to start really engaging in that right action. I mean, you even as a divine, selfish, self-preservation motive, it's still useful. You know? It's like, let's look at the next quote. The next quote is 998. Again, it says kind of the same thing. The present is infinitely more potent than the past. They indeed are fools who are satisfied with the fruits of their past effort and do not engage themselves in self-effort now. Now here, it's a slightly different spin. It's saying those people who used to be focused on their spiritual path maybe reached a certain level of happiness or contentment and now kind of have laid off, right? It's saying they're fools, because if they would just stick with that same intensity that they once experienced, I mean, they can't imagine what would happen, because there's so much potent in that present practice. But if you begin to lift up also, if you begin to lift up and you're no longer involved in that present practice, the momentum that you are creating towards your awakening can also begin to lift. Right? You can't just ride on the fact that you used to meditate, you know, back, you know, 2 or 3 years ago, you used to meditate every day, or you used to contemplate every day. You need to keep that momentum going, because right now you're not doing it. You're allowing that momentum to slow down, and the slowing down is very potent, because the present is potent, right? So that's kind of the attitude this one has taken. They indeed are fools who are satisfied with the fruits of their past effort, satisfied with the happiness they've reached, the amount of peace they've reached, and do not engage themselves in self-effort now. But what I really love about this quote is that first sentence, the present is infinitely more potent than the past. You know, so again, it's telling us that if we will apply ourselves now, you know, we can literally undo some of the karma that we've already set in motion before we have to experience it. Any comments? Yes, Tony.
As you were going over how it has a little bit of a different spin, this particular quote, it kind of reminded me of addictions. I used to smoke, and in my early 20s, I smoked about a pack of cigarettes a day. And I quit when I was 25, but that desire to want to continue to smoke was still there. And it didn't go away for a very long time, but I knew that if I were to pick one up and start smoking, just one, it's harmless, that would build, that I would be smoking a pack of cigarettes by the end of the week.
Right.
And it just kind of reminded me of what you were saying, that it's, you have to be diligent in the present and maintaining your desire. I didn't want to smoke anymore, but it was a habit that I had. And I knew that if I had picked up the habit again, it would be full force. And I feel that that's kind of like what you were saying a little bit about being just resting on your laurels or the fruits of what you had in the past. So I have absolutely no desire. I'd never think about it. It doesn't even come into my awareness anymore, but that's because I did kind of, train my mind, and I got out of the habit. So I feel that practicing following your desire to awaken takes a lot of practice and a conscious effort to do that. So that's all I wanted to say.
Yeah, no, I think that's an excellent, excellent example. Yeah. And in fact, since the present is infinitely more potent, you're right. You take that one cigarette in the present, you know, the potency of that is just going to bring that habit right back. Yeah, so I think that was an excellent example. Thank you. Does anyone else want to share on that before we move on to another topic? Okay, then the next quote I had for us to look at together was 981. The task seems hopeless until suddenly all becomes clear and simple and so wonderfully easy. But as long as you are interested in your present way of living, you will shirk from the final leap until the unknown. So I'd like to look at the first half of this first. The task seems hopeless until suddenly all becomes clear and simple and so wonderfully easy. I think this, even though this is a different topic, this kind of reminds me of the first quote that we were looking at before about patience. This kind of explains why you need to have patience with your spiritual practice. It's like a bunch of tasks that are running through my mind. Like when I first started the practice of purification, of watching my mind and letting go of thoughts and finding false beliefs and unbelieving them, that seemed impossible. Letting go of the I am bad belief seemed impossible. You know, like I thought that would never, ever happen. Of course, I just told you guys it happened in a mere 5 years. But during the process of that 5 years, I thought it would never, ever happen. And then it did. Right? And then also, if you guys know me well, you know that I thought I would never be able to meditate. I mean, my God, I close my eyes for 5 minutes, I'm asleep. I will never, ever, ever be able to meditate. But I kept coming back to it and trying again and coming back to it and trying again. Now I can meditate for as long as the schedule of the day will allow me to. So, you know, I think it's really wonderful to realize that this statement is true regardless of the spiritual task we're talking about. You know, maybe some people feel like they can't write with spiritual intuition. They'll never be able to write with spiritual intuition. But you just keep coming back to it, keep coming back to it, and then one day you're writing with spiritual intuition. You know, the task seems hopeless, and we all experience that at some point with at least some tasks on this spiritual path. I think the ego wants us to believe I'm the only one. It's hopeless for me, right? But it must have felt hopeless for Nisargadatta. Is that who we're reading now? I think it is, Nisargadatta. Why else would he say this? So at some point, he must have felt that sense of hopelessness too, right? The task seems hopeless. Until suddenly, all becomes clear and simple and so wonderfully easy. So I think that part of the quote we want to keep in mind whenever we're experiencing that sense of hopelessness with our spiritual practice. And just keep coming back to it. But then the second part of the quote, but as long as you are interested in your present way of living, you will shirk from the final leap until the unknown. I've had a couple different people tell me that they had what they believe was the opportunity to awaken. You know, I call it the eye of the needle experience. They had the eye of the needle experience. It opened up. They had the opportunity to awaken. And then a thought came into their mind. One person thought about his parents and was back. Another person said she thought about something she had to do, and she was back. So it's kind of interesting to think about in that moment when we have the chance to awaken, the ego may try and pull us away from that by just a simple thought of attachment to our current life. Our grandchildren, for example, our spouse, our, you know, whatever it is. For some people, it could even be their health, you know. Oh, but you got to tend to this body. You know, some people think about their health all the time. And that's really what this is saying. It says, as long as you are interested, I'm going to say as long as you, maybe interest is right. Maybe we should just leave it. I want to say as long as this is what's important to you. As long as this is what's meaningful to you, as long as you are interested in your present way of living, you will shirk from the final leap into the unknown. So a part of what we need to be doing, a part of what we need to be preparing our mind for, at least the way it works for me, is knowing that the people that I care about and the things that I care about, like my daughter, you know, my boyfriend, awakening together, is all going to be okay without me. That's the way it works for me. It's all going to be okay without me. So that if this chance comes, this final awakening, this final doorway, I can step through it knowing they're all going to be okay without me. That's the way that I address this in myself in order to help prepare my mind for that moment. So that there isn't this thought of, you know, uh-oh, Jasmine's trying to get a job. You know, I need to be there to advise her, right? If I need to be there to advise her as she's trying to get a job out of college, boom, that's going to bring me back. I have to know she's going to be okay without me. They're all going to be okay without me. Do any of you all have any thoughts about this? Anything that may help you? George.
Yeah, the thought that comes to me is, you know what? Maybe they'd be better off without me. You know? George and Liz will tell you. You know, there's two Georges. There's a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde there. And the bad George doesn't come out often, but it does still raise its ugly head. And we're still, I have to think, this George body is still going to interact with those that we find important in our lives. And to me, Spirit's guidance and solution will be better than George's.
Yeah, and I agree with you completely on that. In fact, the funny thing is, it's possible that let's say you do allow that destruction of the me, right? So this is just the awakened one here. Some family members may not even notice you're gone because they still see the body, right? They may not even notice you're gone. Yeah. So we're just preparing. Yeah, go ahead, George.
Yeah, that happened to Tess Hughes, you know, when I was reading her autobiography. She went home after she awakened, and she just thought, I wonder what people are going to see. And they, you know, one of her relatives says, oh, you look nice and rested. And that was their comment.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, so and this kind of stuff that we're talking about now, this kind of stuff can help us to overcome that temptation if that temptation arises to pull back from awakening because we think we're needed somewhere in the world, right? I need to take care of my parents, or I need to take care of my children. You know, that is just an ego trick. Because as we're pointing out, they might not even notice the awakening, right? So that is just an ego trick. So what we want to do is prepare ourselves to not fall for that trick. Anybody else have anything else they would like to share on this particular quote, 981?
No, Regina, I just had a question. Just yes, out ma'am. Of curiosity, if they missed the first chance, did they get a second one soon?
after that? These two individuals, no. No. And in fact, one of the individuals has now passed away. So in Liz's lifetime, there definitely will not be a second chance. Yeah. The other one hasn't passed away, but a second chance hasn't come back. And this is, again, why we want to prepare ourselves. Right? We want to prepare ourselves to allow... in fact, maybe what I should do is take you to my current journal, show you what I was contemplating. I believe it was this morning. It's not these quotes, different quotes, but we're hitting that same topic. Let's see. Where would I be? Let's start right here. That's not it. Let's look right here. Well, I think this is where it started here. The nesting dolls. My journal can carry a theme for a few days. So the nesting dolls is just referring to an image that came up in a previous quote, but it's about really just going within, staying within, and abiding very deeply there without any attention going out. So crawl inside the nesting dolls, abide there, wait there, do nothing at all there. Let the mystery take place. The mystery being the destruction of mind. My role in the mystery of awakening, the mystery of destruction, is to remain focused on being still. Allow it. I can't make it. I can't make awakening happen. I defeat my true self. I mean, I avoid my true self, really, if I fight awakening. Make myself available and remain intent on allowing it, to just allow it to happen. Allow it all the way to the end of me. Dance me to the end of me. And then 1265 is kind of a change to a song by Leonard Cohen called Dance Me to the End of Love. Same lyrics. The only thing I changed was, instead of dance me to the end of love, it's dance me to the end of me. Dance me to your beauty like a burning violin. Dance me through the panic till I'm safely gathered in. Lift me like an olive branch and be my homeward dove, and dance me to the end of me. Please dance me to the end of me, right? And then the la la la's that are in the song. But, you know, this is just all preparing the mind. These types of quotes, these types of contemplations, this is preparing the mind. So should that final doorway open up, hopefully I am prepared to allow it to complete itself, and I'm not one of the ones that pulls away. Because you may not get another chance in this lifetime. Do you guys want to hear that song? Well, you got to listen. You got to say, dance me to the end of me, okay? In your mind as the song plays. Let's see. I think I had a link here even, so I can just share my screen again. I listened to it like 3 or 4 times this morning.
Yeah.
I listened to the song a few times this morning, you know, just because of the way it was communicating to my heart in the moment about allowing that destruction of the mind or allowing that destruction of the me being danced to the end of love or the end of me, danced to the end of me. And I just listened to it a few times as part of my contemplation. And again, it's just preparing the mind, preparing the self to be able to allow this to complete itself if that opportunity should arrive. Any comments? All right, let's see what we have next. 986. Do not be afraid of freedom from desire and fear. It enables you to live a life so different from all you know, so much more intense and interesting, that truly, by losing all, you gain all. Well, first of all, I think this is a perfect quote for the freedom from the ego retreat that we're in right now. Do not be afraid of freedom from desire and fear. We were actually reading yesterday at the Freedom from the Ego retreat, we were reading NTI Luke chapter 12. And in NTI Luke chapter 12, the Holy Spirit points out that we have become comfortable in our world of fear. And then the Holy Spirit says, I offer much more than comfort in a world of fear. And one of the things we've been looking at the Freedom from the Ego retreat is how we have been comfortable. Our comfort zone, right, is this limited, trying to find a way of saying it without, you know, going into the whole retreat in 10 minutes. Our comfort zone are our limiting beliefs. That's how I say it. Our limiting beliefs have become our comfort zone. And we are afraid to go beyond our limiting beliefs, even though our limiting beliefs cause us pain and suffering. And so what's interesting is this particular quote says, do not be afraid of freedom from desire and fear. And it's interesting because since our comfort zone is these limiting beliefs that we carry, we are afraid to step outside of them. You know, one example I used yesterday, just a common example that applies probably to some women. I don't know, it may be even some men. But, you know, I know actually quite a few women who are afraid to wear a bathing suit in front of other people, right? They're afraid to wear a bathing suit because they, you know, they feel, well, to be blunt, that their body is too disgusting. So by avoiding pool parties, beach parties, you know, spas, all these places where you have to put on a bathing suit, they're staying within their comfort zone. And they're holding on to that belief that they're too hideous to be seen. So really the teaching would be, put on that bathing suit and go. Put on that bathing suit and go. Keep putting on that bathing suit and going until you're just happy to be at the pool party. You know, till you've gone through all of that pain. And I think we talked about this a few weeks ago. I think I asked all of the people from La Vida to go to the ecstatic dance, right? The same type of conversation, right? You need to go beyond your comfort zone. So it's funny, we are afraid, we would rather stay with that self-limiting belief. For example, I'm too hideous to be seen or too disgusting to be seen in a bathing suit, you know, or everybody's going to think I'm an idiot if they see me dancing. We'd rather keep these beautiful beliefs than go outside of our comfort zone and become free of them. And this is true, of course, of the ultimate belief, the belief in separation, which causes lots of conflict, lots of attack, lots of suffering. We're very comfortable with that, and we would really much rather stay with that belief than to take the steps that are going to take us outside of our comfort zone and lead us to see that that's not true. So this says, do not be afraid of freedom and desire from fear. And therefore, do not be afraid of the different things you're going to be guided to do as you let go of your limiting beliefs. You know, your specific guidance is going to be unique. You remember some of the guidance that I experienced was the guidance of leaving my job, right? Moving to North Carolina. And then there was the guidance. Now, you guys might not think much of this because most of you, I think, really enjoy NTI. But I'd like you just to back up for a moment and kind of put yourself in my shoes. All right? The Bible is a very, very holy book in our culture. Can you imagine reading the Bible and in some ways letting it be rewritten through you? Do you know what a friggin' ridiculous request that is? I do, because it happened to me. I know what a ridiculous request that is, that I should allow that to happen. You know? So you could be asked to do some very uncomfortable things. But those very uncomfortable things are taking you out of the comfort zone of your limiting beliefs about what's true, what the world is, and what you are. Do not be afraid of freedom from desire and fear. And here's the promise. It enables you to live a life so different from all you know, so much more intense and interesting, that truly, by losing all, which would be those limiting beliefs, you gain all. So you guys may have to remind me tomorrow at the Freedom from the Ego retreat, maybe we should look at this quote again, start our day with this quote, because it's just the perfect quote for that retreat. Do not be afraid of freedom from desire and fear. It enables you to live a life so different from all you know, so much more intense and interesting, that truly, by losing all, you gain all. So don't expect the awakening process to be this comfortable, easy, peaceful process. If you are going through the awakening process, you are going to go through some very uncomfortable periods of time, because it's pushing you out of that set of limiting beliefs, which are your comfort zone. Just don't be afraid of that. Any comments or questions?
Regina, it reminds me of the part in A Course in Miracles. It's something like, give all to receive all.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you. We have like 3 minutes left, so let's just go ahead and peek at 988. Relinquish your habits and addictions. Live a simple and sober life. Don't hurt a living being. This is the foundation of yoga. To find reality, you must be real in the smallest daily action. There can be no deceit in the search for truth. So, obviously, none of us, while we travel this spiritual path, are perfect. That's why, which one is it, Jekyll or Hyde, that's the evil one? I forget. But that's why George's, is it Dr. Jekyll that's evil? Yeah, that's why George's Dr. Jekyll sometimes still shows up. I was even telling them today that mine shows up still a couple times a year, and I was telling them a story about when it showed up not too long ago and what the effects were in the world, as far as I could see, something that I saw in the world. None of us are perfect while we're on this path. We're all going to make mistakes, and let's just accept that and be okay with that right now, all right? But with that said, what this is saying is we need to do our very best to live according to the right mind and not live by the wrong mind. You know, so like one thing that the right mind asks is kindness. You know, one of my favorite movie scenes is in The Revolver, the foot of the bed scene, when Jake Green is at the foot of the bed of his enemy and he is apologizing to his enemy, right? Because that's what he's been guided to do. And the whole time he's apologizing to his enemy, the ego is screaming at him, right? Screaming and screaming and screaming. And he takes all of his effort to not listen to the ego and to follow his guidance perfectly, right? And he gets down on his knees and, you know, the ego is screaming, kill him, shoot him, you know, kill him, right? What kind of a groveling idiot are you? Or something like that. I don't remember the exact words, but that's the idea. And while all that screaming is going on, Jake Green says, Maka, I apologize. I didn't respect you. Or again, something similar to that, right? He follows the guidance instead of following the ego. And to me, that's what this is saying. Relinquish your habits and addictions. Live a simple and sober life. Don't hurt a living being. This is the foundation of yoga. Yoga means oneness. To find reality, you must be real in the smallest daily action. There can be no deceit in the search for truth. Again, none of us are going to be perfect. We're all going to slip sometimes. But we should be putting effort in every word that comes out of our mouth, every action that we allow this body to perform, to come from the right mind. And I think with that, we're out of time. Thank you, everyone.